Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback. It's 8 minutes after 8 a.m. on this, the Wednesday version of your favorite show. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening with the Ukraine from an intelligence community standpoint. Let's go back a few years, if you don't mind. First of all, 715-845-2155. Anything you want to talk about today, it's fair game. Wednesday, my first day back from taking a few days off. So if you want to call and chastise me for leaving you with, you know, all with Tom and his socialist rantings, I apologize. Call and abuse me all you want. But let's go back a few years. As we were attacked by Al-Qaeda, even before we had the 9/11 attacks in New York on the World Trade Centers, for a few years prior to that, our defenses, our tolerance for attack, we were being hit. We had the USS Cole that was attacked by a skiff loaded with explosives. We had the parking garage bombing of the World Trade Center. We had the bombing of Marine barracks. We had several of these attacks that basically were testing what would be effective, what kind of reaction do the American public exude at the time of the attack, what type of reaction is the government going to have, et cetera, et cetera. The intelligence community worked amazingly hard to combat Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, the Osama bin Laden ilk, all of this. The intelligence community really had to go into overtime. Prior to our involvement with radical Islamic terrorist desires, we were dealing with predominantly threats from a nation state. Cold War, great example. We had Russia. The Soviet Union was our big threat. We had China looming in the background. There were always little uprisings here and there, but it was usually a government that was behind it. So our intelligence community could put assets in place. They could talk to people that were from the area. The CIA and other organizations could go into a foreign country that was a potential threat, find individuals that might be willing to work with us and give us information, basically become spies, okay? Layman spies. They weren't exactly trained in all the techniques, but they could get us information. It was the CIA handlers that had to gather the information, protect the assets, pay for the information, I guess, and get it back to us. When we came under attack from Al-Qaeda, we no longer really had a single nation that was the identified enemy. It was an ideal. It was a religious fervor. It was spread out among the Middle East and other locations. Now, it was tracked down that for a long time, Afghanistan was the hub and the central launching point of most of Al-Qaeda. And for a long time, Osama bin Laden was in Afghanistan. Matter of fact, he was there roaming around until we pinned him down at Tora Bora. Remember that? The huge offensive that we took at Tora Bora. And unfortunately, Osama bin Laden and some of his lieutenants, they all got away. That's when they went into Pakistan. But the intelligence community for the last 10 years has been doing an amazing job of battling terrorism, finding it, locating the cells, and eliminating it. Tens of thousands of Al-Qaeda operatives over the last few years have been killed, wiped out by small forces of U.S. troops along with CIA on the ground. And this is how we have turned the tide. And this is why I believe...
Don't forget the drones.
Oh, yeah, drones have been in there. As a matter of fact, it was the CIA that developed the unmanned aerial vehicles, the UAVs, and it was because they had one of... Let me see if I can remember who it was. There was... I don't believe it was Osama bin Laden himself, but there was one of the top lieutenants, one of the top guys in Al-Qaeda, that they had located him. They had gotten a positive confirmation, so they called in Special Forces, and Special Forces said, we are on it, we will be there in 4 hours. And I'm like, you don't understand. This guy's having tea right now. We can take him out right now. We need you here right now. Yeah, we're there. We're 3 hours and 57 minutes now. We're on our way. They said, there's got to be a way. So they put these Hellfire missiles on drones and became very, very effective. Very, very effective. The political story of how to get those authorized is a fascinating look into the fight between the men and women on the ground in the trenches that can do the job and the bureaucrats in the Pentagon and in the White House that are more concerned about what the lawyers are going to say than killing the enemy.
Well, that's always been the argument in almost every conflict we've been in as
Absolutely.
A country.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's going to be that way. All right. So for the longest time now, the CIA, the intelligence community has been saying our fight for terrorism, the biggest threat that we're dealing with now, is these splinter cells of Al-Qaeda. It is also cyber terrorism. One of the other things that they're very, very concerned about is biological, taking biological agents, weaponizing them, and using that as a terrorist threat. But predominantly, the threat has been from terrorist cells. And I believe, now this is my opinion, but I strongly believe that influence over the last decade is what has gotten our politicians, some politicians, to say our military must be prepared to fight this kind of battle from this point forward. That this is not going to be a short-term thing. We are not going to ever win the war on terrorism. The war on terrorism will happen until the end times. To us, the United States, it will never be a case where we can say, beautiful day in America. We don't have to worry about the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, any of them coming over here and blowing us up.
Mission accomplished.
Those days are I know you got to take a dig at Bush. You go right ahead. That was fine. The military action in Iraq was finished. What we set out to do in Iraq was accomplished. That's what that was all about. Was it a PR nightmare? Yes. Was it factual? Yes. But the war on terrorism.
Are you going to try to tie this, though, into the suggestion now about the retrenching
yep.
and the rejiggering of the military
Absolutely.
Forces in this country?
This is why I believe that the politicians believe that the military has to be completely transformed into fighting these small offensive forces. That's what I believe is the reason the military is being transformed, okay? That they truly believe that the days of us having to fight a military incursion from a nation state, that's no longer going to happen. They truly believe that Russia will never be an issue for us. China will never be an issue for us. And as far as any other country, small, well-trained, brutally effective forces can handle that. Now, when it comes to fighting terrorism, I agree. The most effective way that we fought terrorism were small groups of special forces that identified the target, went in, attacked, killed without mercy, and got out. Shoot, scoot, and boot it. This is very, very effective. That's why I believe the Secretary of Defense came out about a week or so ago and was making these drastic suggestions of cuts.
Well, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and I looked at the numbers because we had a caller who suggested that the United States military was somehow comparable to the Ukrainian military, and I looked up the numbers, and it's not even close.
No.
But the U.S., you have to admit, the U.S. military budget is bloated, and there are things that can be eliminated.
Well, there's always going to be things that can be eliminated. But we cannot step down from readiness of when Russia says, you know what, we've had enough. Get your nose out of what we're doing in the Ukraine. If you don't, we're going to kick your ass. We cannot step down and say, oh, you know what, we don't have enough. You're right. We're not prepared
outside,
for that.
Outside of the nuclear deterrent that both sides have, the Russian military isn't in a position to kick our ass anywhere at this point in time. Their military.
You're going to say that about China?
Their military is as degraded as anybody's in the world.
You're going to say the same thing about China?
I have no idea what the Chinese military looks like at this point in time as far as fighting a war.
Well, listen, the mere fact that the Chinese can put 100 million soldiers on the ground whenever they're ready to do it.
But the Chinese leadership is pragmatic as well, and they know a world war is not good business.
I understand that. But you cannot have a military position of saying, oh, they don't believe it's good business, so we don't need to be ready for it.
No one is suggesting that the U.S. military is not going to be ready.
You pared down the military to the design that the Secretary of Defense proposed a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and you're doing exactly that. You're paring it down to be ready to fight these incursions from terrorists, which would be highly effective. If that is the only threat we had to deal with, I would agree with it. But they are turning a blind eye to the real threat of a nation-wide or a nation-state threat of a World War III. You cannot turn a blind eye to it.
You're never going to convince me that the Pentagon is not planning for and looking ahead to a possible World War III.
You're confusing the sources. I'm not saying the Pentagon. The military is saying, do not do this to us. Our job is to defend the nation, and we cannot do it the way you're proposing it. The Secretary of Defense, a politician, and the White House are saying we don't need this type of readiness.
Well, the generals are never going to say that they don't have enough. I mean, they're always going to say complain about cuts. They're always going to complain.
Defend
about
them. I understand you have to defend the bad decisions from the left. I understand that. We're going to take a break when we come back. 715-845-2155. What do the political statements during the campaign? What do they mean, and why is it significant now when we come back? 715-845-2155.
Wisconsin Morning News now. WSAU Feedback at 8 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. 715-845-2155. All right, very quickly, let me complete my thought. The belief, I think, now is dangerous. The battle between the politicians and the Pentagon, as far as our military preparedness, has caused us to be put in some very compromising positions. We had to get ready. We had to change a lot of the strategies that we had in order to fight Al-Qaeda, in order to fight terrorism on their turf in Afghanistan. We had to really rethink the way the military strategy was done. You cannot fight terrorism by rolling in with a tank division. You can't do it by putting 50,000 boots on the ground and invading. They scatter to the wind. They hide. Well, the way the Russians invaded Afghanistan. You can't do it that way. You have to have small special forces. You have to rely heavily on human intelligence. You have to rethink the way you fight a war. And this is the main thing, the reason why we had such a boondoggle in Vietnam. Politicians would not waver from the way of doing things from World War II. They would not listen on how to fight guerrilla jungle warfare. Well, now we're going to the other extreme. We think that this is all we're ever going to do, this guerrilla-style, terrorist shoot-and-scoot type of battle. And they think that our military, all we have to do is be prepared for that, we're going to be fine. it's a deadly mistake. Let's go to the phones. Vince, thanks for holding on. What can we do for you this morning?
Yeah, just for some information here, let's talk about a few items, and I know you're going up, coming up to your break. Let's say Iraq, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea, Japanese, China waving their swords right now at Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Just one more thing that's going to be added to Ukraine, to Obama's failed foreign policy. But he does want to spend money for 15,000 more IRS agents to enforce Obamacare.
Well,
what are his priorities?
Yeah, we have given the world the impression that we are appeasers and negotiators, but our stick, we talk softly, and we talk a lot, but there ain't much of a stick left to back up all our talks. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your name? What's on your mind?
Good morning. How's it going?
So far, so good.
Yeah, two things. One, underneath the ice in a lot of places, there are forests. So I was just wondering what kind of human activity did that. And the other thing is, as far as the military, I think if they could control their own budget, you've got aircraft are being built, flown to Air Force bases, and then mothballed, planes that the military doesn't want, but the congressman in that district wants. I mean, if there was a way to let them cut the bases, you know, final word, to cut the, you know, order only the systems they want and to tighten things up, they could give a better wage to the soldiers, and they could have, you know, maybe a leaner force. But they also said that as far as World War II forces, there was less support personnel in World War II, so you actually have less riflemen now than you did in World War II.
There's a lot to what you just said. There's like a whole show to everything that you just said. You can't let the military govern the military, because then you're giving yourself too much of a threat of a possible military coup. So you have to have government oversight of the military. I believe that. But I do like the idea of the of politicians, instead of listening to their district and listening to the special interest groups, when it comes to the military, actually listen to the men and women that are on the ground doing the job. I love that idea.
Yeah, it'd be nice because, I mean, you know, if they could cut it back, like I said, there's aircraft being flown.
Oh, absolutely. There's millions, if not billions of dollars that's being wasted, and it's ridiculous. We don't have the money to waste. But we cannot just wholeheartedly jump in and say, oh, well, now we're going to cut everything back. It just doesn't work that way. All right, last call, and then we'll take a break. Thanks for calling. What's your name? Hello? All right, then I guess that means we're going to take a break now. When we come back, if you would like to continue talking about that issue, I'm all for it. But I just, that's my opinion. That is my insight into what's going on. And I just wanted to share it with you. But if you'd like to continue talking about it, please do. 715-845-2155. When we come back, what does Chipotle and Apple have in common? No, it's not a burrito, but you might be surprised. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin Morning News now. Rush Limbaugh at 11 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.